try that again. So, so we'd analyze the sheet of ma'akven, ein ma'akven, right? Are tchele and lavad conceptually integrated? Are they not? To what extent are they, etc.? But the sheet that was really the outlier was Rabbeinu Bachya. So what did Rabbeinu Bachya say?
Oh, wait. He said that you need like the two and two? No, wait.
No, so we dealt with whether you need two and two or one and one out of eight or one out of four, right? Two out of eight. Right now we dealt with the question of whether Tchelet and Lafan prevent each other from...
Right.
We paskin not, except for the Balmor, right? As we dealt with yesterday. That was the extreme of these are integrated.
Kind of Rabbeinu Bachya.
Good. Kind of. So what Rabbeinu Bachya say?
Said that it's sort of halfway that if you have tefillah available, then it's ma'akev. But if there's no tefillah available, then it's not ma'akev.
Right. So that was the strange shita. And that really, right, is the one that is the hardest to defend. Because I can understand saying that tefillah is essential. I can understand saying tefillah is not essential. But what would it mean to say that it's essential if you have it? But if you don't have it, then you can get away without it. Meaning either it's essential or it's not essential. Right? What sense could you have this middle category?
That's not so outlandish. Because like you can say like, yeah, like it is an essential realistic that like if you don't have it, there's nothing that you can do. So he wants to still encourage people to wear TT.
Right, but that doesn't mean essential. Essential means without it is, right, it is not meaningful.
Well, maybe he's just being extra strict with his wording to make sure that people know, like, it is very important, but if you don't have it, then, like, there's nothing you can do.
Right, but remember the Balmor, right? If it was, in fact, ma'akven, is in fact essential, then what would happen if you didn't have it? You shouldn't wear.
Yeah.
Not you can, right? You shouldn't because you can't wear four-cornered garments. You don't have any tchelet for it.
Right, so he's trying to get around that, maybe.
Right, but how? That's the question is, conceptually, how does it even work? If it's essential...
You don't have tchelet, you don't have tzitzit in general.
He says, if you don't have tchelet, if there is tchelet and you don't have it, then it prevents you from fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzit. But if you don't have it, meaning it's not available, then it's not ma'akev. Now that doesn't make sense, because only one of the two extremes makes sense. Either they're essential for each other, or they're not. What does it mean? It's essential only if it's available and you choose not to get it, but if it's not available, then it's not essential. Right? That doesn't mean essential. What does it mean?
Is it like this case where we choose not to because people want us to be...
Not choose not to.
What
choose?
Not to. We're not sure that tchelet now...
No, we have not...
No, because you were asking why the... How does your concept of the idea that you choose not to? So I only see that...
Not choose not to. Again, he says... There are two main positions that either tchelet and lavan are essential for each other, and without that, it is not tzitzit. And therefore, if you have a four-cornered garment, there's nothing you can do with it. You can't wear it.
Right.
And if you wear it on Shabbos with tzitzit, we put you to death.
Okay?
And if you wear it with kilayim, we beat you. Okay? Are we clear on the consequences of this? Right? Death.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Death. We got it? What?
No big surprise.
Not exaggerating here either. Death.
Also, Daniel's on his way. Nate hasn't seen the message.
Okay, good. Good. So how might we explain this middle position? So, Ming, you're clearly onto something conceptually, but let's try to spell it out. Let's try to, right, what are you saying?
Me?
Yes, you. Right, you want to defend Rabbeinu Bachya, so let's defend him.
So... Basically, it is an essential thing, but if you can't have it, like if it's not a possibility for you to get it, then, like he still wants you doing some sort of mitzvah.
But then, but then it's not essential, is it? Because
so
you're saying you do
not,
some
it
sort of
it
mitzvah.
It might not be entirely essential, but he's
good.
Like,
so what does he think the word ma'akven means?
Like,
right? I mean, it can't be essential. It can't be definitional.
Yeah.
If it's definitional, it doesn't matter why you don't have it.
It's not that it's definitional, but that if you have an option to get it, you should definitely be getting it, and he really wants to stress that.
Okay, so it could just be that it's rhetoric, right? It could be, he doesn't mean ma'akven. I don't mean ma'akven. It means, like, you really should have it. Right, that's definitely one possibility, right? He doesn't seem to, I mean, I can't prove he isn't saying that. It might be. But that's definitely a possibility, meaning maybe what he really means is they're not essential. Like, they are conceptually connected enough that the mitzvah is clearly lacking without tchelet. So if you have access to tchelet, I'll tell you, use it, and if you don't, something's fundamentally lacking. Now, he doesn't really mean essential. He doesn't really mean ma'akvin. He means it's sort of ma'akvin. Right, that's one possibility. That's just what he means, right? It's a form of rhetoric or hyperbole, right? What he means is you're lacking something. What he says is as if you don't fulfill your obligation. If you look though at the explaining in Ma'akvin source, the one from yesterday, the Rav Yochum Fishel Perla takes a formulation like this. I'm not 100% sure I understand what he wants, but let's try it because. So Ruchem Fishel Perla, I think we've quoted him once before. Who is he? Nachum, who is he?
Who?
Ruchem Fishel Perla. Who is Ruchem Fishel Perla?
That's a good question.
So he wrote he was a Talmud of Reb Chaim, and he was professionally not a rabbi. But he wrote this 3-volume commentary on the Sefer Mitzvot of Rasajiga, and I mentioned this. How long is the Sefer HaMitzvot of Rasajiga gone?
613 mitzvot.
Meaning it's a few hundred words. It doesn't exist. It's a poem. Right? It's a poem. Because I think, didn't Rabbi Soloveitchik mention this yesterday?
Oh,
the Azharot?
Yeah.
Right? That the Sephardi tradition, many different branches of Sephardi tradition were very into these formulations of the Aseret HaDibrot of the 613 mitzvot. And one of those was a poem written by Rasajiga going about the mitzvot. Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perla wrote like a 2,000-page book on this poem, essentially reconstructing what the Rasajigon must have thought about all the mitzvot in the Torah. It's not very compelling as an interpretation, but it's an excellent work for other things. Anyways, that is Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perla. So he writes as follows in number 2. And he writes, Ba'al Kol Panim. So Rabbi Yochum Ben Uri had said that if you don't have tchelet, you still put the lavan, but not the other way. Ibra, the akati kasher lechaora gam belavan makom she'ein lo tchelet. And he says, I don't understand. Even if you want to say that you should put the white strings when you don't have tchelet. Why would you say that? Right, why would you say if you don't have tchelet, you put lavan? What's the logic?
Because they're not.
Because I'm akev. Yeah. So he says, even if you want to say that, nihi d'mitzad bitul biyadayim asey d'tchelet lo tikshem mishum d'asa lavan d'achya asey d'tchelet k'moshin d'ba'er mikom makam kasha d'harei ikanami lav b'dabal tigra. Said, maybe what's going on is the following. Said, I understand that maybe you'll say that you weren't being mevatel of a mitzvah of tchelet. But you know what you are doing? There are two mitzvahs in the Torah, Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. What are Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra?
You can't add and
subtract to the Torah. He said, let's say that from the perspective of tzitzit, it's true, lavan is not makav of tchelet. But you choose to not put tchelet. So, now what are you doing? He says you're choosing to perform an incomplete mitzvah. Maybe not ma'akev, but you're choosing to perform a mitzvah in an incomplete fashion. Isn't that somewhat or completely baltigra? And he says, dechevan de tchelet v'lavan mitzvah achad hein. And he said, I'll prove it to you. He said, why? Because even if you don't hold ma'akvin, what did we say? How many mitzvot are they?
One.
We paskin it's one, which means that this isn't that you're leaving out a mitzvah. What does it mean? Even if lav ma'akvin, it's your
choosing.
Right, you're choosing to take a mitzvah and diminish it internally. Right? Isn't that baltigra? Right? That you're right, there are two types of right theoretically of baltigra. You could get rid of a mitzvah, or you could take a mitzvah and diminish its form. Now that's the classic one. Right? Like I choose to only have 3 minim. Right? I choose to have 5 minim for Bal Tosif, right? So he says, if they're one mitzvah, but they're not ma'akev, then by choosing to not have tchelet, then in some sense, or maybe in a full sense, I'm violating Baltigra. It's true that from the perspective of tzitzit, it's not ma'akev, but there's an external problem. Now, based on this logic already, we'll see how it plays out. Can you come up with a formulation of maybe what Rabbeinu Bachai is getting at? Why might it be different whether you have access to tchelet or not?
Because if you have access, then it's Baltigra.
Exactly. If it's not an internal, if it's an internal issue, either it's essential or not essential. But if it's an external issue, meaning, am I violating Baltigra? Am I showing that I am decreasing the mitzvah itself? I mean, it's not a tzitzis problem. This is a meta problem. So then it might depend on perspective. Meaning, if I have access to tchelet and I choose not to put it in, so then the way I relate to the institution of tzitzis is in an incomplete fashion, which we call baltigra. But if the reason I didn't put tchelet is not because I'm choosing not to put tchelet, why am I not putting tchelet?
Because
I don't have it. So is it internally, is it a problem?
No,
because lavan ain't makavet atchelet, tchelet ain't makavet alavan. Is it the external problem of Baltigra? No, because there's no perspective problem. Because the reason I'm not putting tchelet is not because I'm choosing to do it, it's because I don't have it. Right? So it could be that this is the type of middle perspective that Rabbeinu Bachai is having, which is that from the vantage point of tzitzis, the internal perspective, tchelet ain't makavet alavan, lavan ain't makavet atchelet, they're not essential for each other. But they are an integrated mitzvah. And therefore, if I choose when I have the possibility of wearing tchelet to not wear it, right? So then I have this meta problem, baltigra. I'm choosing to fulfill the mitzvah in a diminished fashion. Now, after we get to this perspective, that's why I think we're going to pause tomorrow and move for probably 2 days to the issue of modern tchelet, right? Because, you know, just because Yosef is already thinking that, which is, well, what about nowadays? What if I possibly have the opportunity to tell you're looking at my tzitzit? Yes, I have tchelet on my tzitzit. He's like, at that moment, he looks down at my tzitzit. Yes, on my tzitzit.
I'm trying to figure out your personal biases.
There's a blue.
Personal bias.
Though for many years I didn't wear it, I bought it over the summer when I decided, because for years I've been saying, I'm probably going to get it. I need to sit down with the sugyot. Then over the summer, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be teaching the sugyot. You know what? Let me just get it. If I change my mind about how I'm supposed to tie it, I'll change my mind. But let me just do it. But we'll see why.
I just thought about it because it's funny how it brings up the idea of choosing not to, which now I love to say.
And that's exactly the problem. Is that's what I want to... And that's why I think it's a good time to pause sort of in the retzef of the sugyot and say, well, okay, are we at that point again? Right? Meaning, this is what I figured conceptually. Even though there's no really great place in the Gemara to say, okay, do we have tchelet now? We could have done it anywhere. Right, but at this point, like when we finish this sugya,
you have a requirement to wear it.
So. Right, exactly. So I figured at this conceptual point in the sugya, tomorrow we'll have to deal with the question. Okay, well, where are we? And like I said, we're going to then go to the tchelet factory at some point. Shmuel Davich is working out the details. At least our shir and Regensburg's and right Chait shir will have finished the sugya by the time we go, because we're going to do it tomorrow, and we're going to be doing tchelet for a bit. And right Chait's finishing it now, but Regensburg, I don't know when he's doing it eventually also. Okay.
Wait, have you ever done that thing where you go snorkeling and like pick up the snails and then they have a whole?
No, unfortunately, I have not. No. What?
We're not going to that extent. To
I don't know. Arrange a snorkeling trip for Murex / Hepatex, whatever it's called. Hepatex.
Like you go to the
Axiplex. There we go. Chunkulus and whatever it is.
It was cool. They like showed you what you're looking for and then like showed you the whole.
Where was this?
At the factory.
Oh, really? You could go snorkeling in the factory?
Or not. Wait, it was at,
I don't think so. It was in Cryodumim. There's no water.
No,
you're in Cryodumim.
You just have a bathtub.
No, not at the factory. Like, at the, collection site or something.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, you could ask for Shmuel David. If that's a trip.
They have a whole thing there. Like,
no, if that's a separate trip, maybe I'll talk to him. We haven't planned a specific date. Maybe we'll go there instead. I don't know.
This is cool.
Daniel, I see your reflection.
What?
Well, that was pretty cool.
Where did you just go?
That was impressive.
Daniel, I saw your reflection. Where are you going?
To the top.
Yeah, I saw him through there.
Yeah, no, but he walked that way.
Yeah.
Oh.
From here, I see a reflection. Okay. Anyways, so let's continue here. So I think this is what maybe Rabbeinu Bachai is getting at. And he says, Vilecha ora hayan yir'e lomar. Da'ad kan lo shaykh azhara de baltegra e'echa sha'usa mitzvah mimitzvah tilin afilu boy ve'ein lo shaykh la daltegra e'en sha'am. So I went back a line. Vilecha ora hayan yir'e lomar. It seems to me, da'ad kan lo shaykh azhara de baltegra e'echa sha'usa mitzvah chasir betorat shlema. And now he pushes a little bit farther. Sometimes Rechon Vishal Perla is hard to understand. Here, Dafka, I think his language is conceptually brilliant. And he says, because what is the prohibition of Baal Tigra? It's to perform a non-complete mitzvah, b'torat shlema. What does that mean? With the perspective that it is complete. Right? That's what Baal Tigra means. Right? To perform a mitzvah in an incomplete fashion, but assert, right? Appear as if you think it is complete. Right? That makes sense conceptually, right? What does it mean to challenge the integrity of a mitzvah, right? To remove a component of the mitzvah is
to do it improperly
and claim that it's proper.
Right?
It's a perspective thing. And therefore he says, kigon, shebishlosha minim shelo ratzah la'aseh idei chovah mitzvah kulu legamrei. It's like someone comes to shul with an esrog, a lulav, and hadasim and says, look at my complete set, and makes a bracha. Dizeu vade b'chal giraon. That is called subtraction. Shari min atarai mitzvah azu mikmeret el barma minim. Because biblically, the mitzvah is not completed unless you have all four species. V'hu goreya min echad. You take one away, v'rotze l'kaimarak b'shlosha minim. And you want to fulfill it with three. Aval k'shabal la'asot miktzat me'a mitzvah. B'torat miktzata bilvad. But when you attempt to perform a partial mitzvah, with what perspective? The perspective that it's incomplete.
Right.
So then what? The kagon shemitzvah shein kalkem ha'akvin zedze. And why do you bother doing it? Because you know that you're yotzei one without the other. Uba lasot chelek echad min ha'mitzvah rak b'torat chelek bilvad. So you perform a component and you treat it as a component. No. As a component. To catch Daniel up, right? We had a third perspective on ma'akvin of tchila and lavan, right? We saw the position that says they are ma'akev, right? That they're completely integrated. The position that they're not. But then we saw Rabbeinu Bachaye who said that if you have tchila, then it's ma'akev. And you choose not to put it, but if you don't have it, then it's fine. Right? We said, what does that mean? So either Daniel had suggested that it's just like, he's using rhetoric. Really, he means it's not essential, but like, you really shouldn't do it. But what we're seeing in a real official pro is another possibility. And he says as follows. He says, there's a difference, essentially, between an internal lack and an external one. From the vantage point of tzitzit, tchelet ein ma'akev et alava. But they're mitzvah achat. They're one integrated whole that just happens to not be essential. So, he says, if you choose, you have tchelet, and you choose not to use it, then the problem isn't in tzitzit, the problem is Baal Tigra. Right? There's a separate prohibition in the Torah of subtracting from the mitzvah. So if you take a mitzvah but here the issue is perspective. If I think I'm performing a whole mitzvah, but I'm only doing half, then that is challenging the integrity of the mitzvah. But if I know that this is incomplete, and I'm performing it because I know, despite the fact that it's incomplete, I'm yotzei. You know, and it's right to ilu, right? It's right lahavdil, right? The Gemara later on will do this probably pre-Pesach, either pre-Pesach or post-Pesach. I don't know, right? One of the sugya in Menachah that I don't know if you remember is in Menachah is the sugya of Svirta Omer. Why is Svirta Omer in Menachah?
Excellent question. No idea.
Because it's Omer.
Which is a
carbon.
What type of carbon?
Mincha.
A mincha. Good guess. Very good. Right? It's a carbon mincha. Right? Because the carbon haomer is a carbon mincha, is a grain offering. Right? It is a mincha. And once the Gemara is talking about the carbon mincha, it talks about
the
svirat haomer as well, the counting from the time of the omer. So in that context, the Gemara cites a position which we'll really have to spend time on. A beautiful position. That nowadays, where it's possible that the mitzvah of Shvirat HaOmer is not daraisa, Zomer Zeichel Mikdash, you should only count weeks and not days. I mean, the biblical mitzvah count weeks and days, but now we only count one. Why would you do that?
We do weeks and days.
Yes, we don't paskin like that, Shita, but why would you do it?
You need clear not actually do.
Correct. To highlight that this is incomplete. Right? So here, right, the perspective is not quite the same, but he's saying the perspective is that it's not incomplete. So he says, therefore he continues, and he says, so he says, if you only have white, and therefore you wear white, because that's what you have, so then it's not baltikar, because you're not trying to fill the entire mitzvah of tzitzit. You know that the real mitzvah of tzitzit in its ideal form is tchelet and lavan. Dahinu tchelet and lavan. Ela kavanato natzeg yidei chovato miyad b'chatzin mitzvah. It's as if you wear your tzitzit, and what do you say every time you look at your pure white tzitzit? Halavai, I had tchelet, but I don't. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. And that's why you'll have to deal with that. So tomorrow. So this might be related to the position of whether there's such a thing as a half mitzvah by mitzvah atzei. So he says, okay, next paragraph. El dofize hatenach bizmanam davul tchelet shapir matzil ahatel achshav miyad lavan zlashem achar mitzvah tchelet aval oedna lislam tchelet zaya ro'oy lomar. But then he says something very odd. He says maybe, ironically, this is only in the time where you have tchelet. There it would be better. Why would it be better? Because then maybe if you have tchelet and you put on your white tzitzit and you say, look, when I get the blue, I'll dye it. So then it's incomplete, but incomplete with a potential for completion. So maybe there's a conceptual difference between potential completeness and stagnated incompleteness. Right? So maybe, he said ironically, it would be better, right? Meaning now he flips it. He said maybe, right, I'm using this to explain Rabbeinu Bachya, but now he suggests the opposite of Rabbeinu Bachya, is that maybe you're only allowed to wear lavan without tchelet when tchelet is a possibility, because then the entire mitzvah exists in potential. But if I know I don't have any tchelet, then maybe it's the opposite. Because by definition, I'll never be able to complete it. My mitzvah is just stagnated, and therefore it doesn't mean anything. He said, obviously, if there is no tchelet, then I can't be blamed for it in the way that if there was tchelet, I could be blamed for it. That's obvious. It's not a blame question. Maybe it's the flip. So maybe, dafka, when I have no chance of tchelet, and therefore I keep wearing lavan, that's what highlights that I'm redefining the mitzvah. Why? Because nowadays, right, there is, right now he flips it, right, the first paragraph, defended Rabbeinu Bachya. He doesn't know Rabbeinu, he doesn't quote Rabbeinu Bachya. But now he suggests an alternate model, which is maybe it's actually worse. Why is it worse? So let me try to put a svara, like explain what a svara is. Right, the svara he suggests is maybe it's worse the following. How many people for a long time thought, until maybe you started reading the Torah, right, that tzitzis meant white?
The four-quarter garment?
But it just meant white, right?
Oh.
Like, how many of you, like, never, how long did it take for you to process that tzitzis, definitely in biblical times, was blue and white? Like, when you were three or four, whenever you first started wearing tzitzis, and you thought about the word tzitzis, what do you think about? Do you think of blue and white?
I knew at six I was asking why people wore blue strings, and my dad explained
why they wore blue strings.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like part of it, it's what the.
Oh, okay, good. That's a good point, Yosef. That's exactly what I mean. Meaning, right? Think about it. Nowadays, right? Even though some people do wear tchelet. Yes, I'm wearing tchelet. We got that. Okay. Some people wear tchelet. Fine. But what? People, so many people don't wear tchelet that.
It seems like you're adding something.
Right, that people think, oh, tzitzis means white, and what are the crazy people doing wearing blue? So I think what he's saying in the second paragraph is maybe you have to flip the lumdus. Maybe, if there's no potential for tchelet, then you shouldn't be allowed to wear white. Why? Because that'll be baltigra. In the first paragraph, what did he say baltigra was? It's perspective. Am I trying to perform the mitzvah in a subpar way? Or am I just doing because that's the circumstance? Right? That's like Rabbeinu Bachya. Meaning if I have tchelet, if I could have tchelet and I choose not to, then I don't. Then it's ma'akev. If I don't have tchelet, so I'm fine. Right? That was the first paragraph. But now he says, you know what? Maybe Baal Tikra is different. Maybe. You know what the prohibition of Baal Tikra is? It's about creating a subpar paradigm. How do you create a subpar paradigm, Rafi?
You...
Right, what's he saying?
Confuse everyone by not having...
Correct. He says, look, in a world where people wear tchelet, where there's tchelet available, and you happen to not have tchelet right now, so you put on white tzitzit and eventually you'll get tchelet. Has anyone now imagined that tzitzit is just white?
That context...
No, they know. In what world will performing the mitzvah in a subpar manner create a perception of a new paradigm, which might be a different problem, Baal Tikra, meaning creating a paradigm of a subpar mitzvah? In what world?
This world.
Yeah, in a world where you don't have tchelet. Because then people will grow up thinking, ah, tzitzit means white. And if I see someone wearing blue, the guy's a meshuganeh. Right? What's this blue?
His name is Shugna. I was told that some people wear white, some people wear blue with a blue string.
Oh, and that is even worse.
When I was 11, right? I was told that I was supposed to wear with blue.
Good, it took till you were 11, till someone said, no, really, you should wear the tchelet. The question is whether this is the tchelet. But obviously, the ideal tzitzis looks like this, right? Meaning, no one argues that the ideal tzitzis looks like this. The only question is whether this is the right blue. But everyone agrees that this is what they should look like.
How do we know it's... Oh, but on the other hand, though, if I...
How do we know it's the right
one? I just told you, Nachum, tomorrow. I'm going to start this again tomorrow.
On the other
tomorrow.
Hand,
that, I
no,
figure.
I'm saying, how do we know this scenario? Like,
tomorrow. Time? That's why I said, at this point, I will pause. After this sugya, we will pause and we will. We don't know, right? I'll explain some of why we think it might be the tchelet and why people wear it, even though, admittedly, there are certain doubts or it's not 100%, right? And things like that. And explain why people don't do it, right? We'll go through tomorrow four different perspectives. The next shiur, it'll take 2 days, whatever it'll be, right? We'll see, right? Over 2 days, the four different perspectives as to why people wouldn't wear it, right? And why people do wear it, right? And then, but I won't exhaust you on all the details, all the scientific details, because since we're going to go to, if we weren't going to Pesil Techeles, right? Pesil Techeles, right, to the factory, then I would go through all the scientific history.
Right.
Tomorrow I'm going to give you enough to understand the basis of the machlokes, right? But like, they'll show you the slide, they'll show you the snails, they'll show you whatever they're going to do, right? What?
It's cool.
It is cool, but I figure if we're already going there, right, I'll give you enough information to know what we're doing with sugya and explain the methodological points, but like, I don't have one to show you, right? They do. Yes, we're going there. I'm working it out with Shmuel David, but I both because our share and our change share have already started or will be finished by Tchelet soon. With Tchelet soon, we're going to go. We'll talk to Shmuel David. I have no problem. Did you go on this already? You went on the scuba diving one?
Yeah, not scuba diving, like snorkeling.
Snorkeling. Okay, I'll ask Shmuel David. I don't know. I honestly, I didn't know they did that. In a snorkel?
In a lot, if it was, then that's not as viable, but...
No.
So we'd have to get all the way there.
I don't think they do it there, though, because it's from...
It'd be like on the coast.
They're from the Mediterranean.
From the Mediterranean.
They're from the Mediterranean. So where do they go? In Siberia or something? No, that's in the Canary.
It's not the Grand
Canyon. I don't know where they do it. I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't know where they do it. It's not... Because it's... I don't know.
If the blue that we have...
Okay, fine. Whatever. Find out, and I'll ask Mishul David. I don't care. I don't care to go to both. I don't care. It's fine with me.
If the blue that we have, though, is not...
I don't decide finances for the yeshiva. Right. So, like, you know, it's not up to me to decide these things. Right?
Rabbi gets all the money.
Well,
I said Rabbi Zuri gets all the money.
It's like Mishul David, you know, decides these trips. He has the budget. You can talk to him, right? I can just suggest things, yeah.
If the blue that we have now, though, is not clear, then wouldn't that be about Joseph? The same way...
Ah, good. We'll deal with that tomorrow. We will deal with that. We will deal with it. Do you think I haven't put that on the search account? Okay.
Oh, because it's the flip side of what we're talking
yes.
about.
Yes! Why do you think I decided I would do it now, even though it's not like... There's no great place to do it, but because of the way I'm giving this year, right, it is the obvious question to ask. Good. So he says, "V'gam kevan the last one chelat lo shayach lomar shenita lavan al das lahashon agak what tells nimsa deram yaleazar bel zikrei." He said, "Maybe you say nowadays when you put on white, it's with no intention to put on chelat." And therefore, it's Baltikra. Ve'ein takana l'kayim mitzvot tzitzis afilu b'lavan l'chud. Elad islam l'meimer d'hainu gaz rachmana gabe lavan l'dorosam. So he says, I have an answer for you. And the answer is, you should have been right. But I'm going to invent a gzeres hakasa for you. Oh, what's a gzeres hakasa? Now, he's not the only one who does this. Many of the achronim actually come up with a gzeres hakasa. And that is, what does the pasuk say? Specifically by tzitzis? L'dorosam. What does l'dorosam mean? And therefore, the way several of the right mafarshim take Chaim says this as well, says no. Maybe you're right. Maybe it would have been worse to wear tzitzis without tchelet in a world where there's no tchelet because it would create a new paradigm. Except the Torah tells us that tzitzit is l'dorotam, and the way the achronim darshan that is, while some mitzvot might temporarily be held in abeyance because we practically can't fulfill them, the Torah promises us that tzitzit can always be performed at any point in history, l'dorotam. And they therefore derive from that the first model is correct and not the second. Right? Meaning that it is that the lavan is legitimate to wear by itself without tchelet, and right, he prefers the first model in the end. He says, if I choose not to put tchelet, that's more problematic. But in a world where there isn't chelet, even though you might have thought, isn't that creating a subpar paradigm? Isn't that a worse violation of Baal Tikra? Said that would be true if it weren't for the fact that I have a gzeres hakasa that I just made up. That the Torah says that you will always be able to mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis no matter what. And therefore he says, and he proves it from a medrash. Utchilet v'yaseh. It's a mitzvah to bring white and tchilet. Eimak shehad tchilet v'achshav ein lanu el lavan shetchilet nignaz. When was that true? When there was tchilet, but now the tchilet is hidden. Right? V'chenu b'midrash rabba. We'll come back to the midrashim, right, which imply that it's hidden. And this is one of the questions that people ask with the modern tchilet is, what does it mean it was hidden? Right? Does that mean it was hidden like Adimos Mashiach? In which case, it can't be that what we have is. And right? That, those are the questions they ask. He says, isn't this teaching you that you're allowed to wear lavan even without tchilet? He says, "Batu b'zman she'tchilet matzul lo shayach din zeh." You're telling me that when there was tchilet, you couldn't do this. V'havei l'minchas tamik l'shem yochman nuri v'hachei havei l'meimer emek sheish lo tchilet v'hein lo tchilet matil lavan l'chud. And therefore, he says, what I think the midrash is saying is model one, not model two, meaning, while you might have thought, again, that it's worse to wear just love in a world without tchilet because you're creating a subpar paradigm, the midrashic read of the pasuk of the Doratam teaches you the opposite, right? That if you choose not to put on tchilet but you have it, that's Baal Tikra, right? It's not makiv mitzat tzitzit, but it's makiv because you're choosing to perform the mitzvah subpar. But if you don't have it, the Doratam tells you that it's a legitimate to reform the mitzvah in a subpar manner because some version of tzitzit always has to be fulfillable, if that's a word. Therefore he says, this is the halacha. If you live in a world with tchelet, so then, are you allowed to wear only lavan?
No.
Unless you're wearing lavan just until you can get your hands on the tchelet. Right? That one particular case. But if you live, al kol zman eimak shaya tchelet, that's in a world with tchelet. Aval achshav ein lanu ela lavan. But if you only have white, like nowadays, shatchelet nignaz, because his inumishim hachi shari belavan belechud, therefore it's mutter of the white alone. Afal gavzir yandel hashlam mitzvah, even though we don't intend to put the tchelet on, if we don't have it, hainu mikra l'dorotam. This is from the separate pasuk of l'dorotam. So that is the model that he constructs, and I think that's probably the best way of defending the position of Rabbeinu Bechaye. Okay.
Does that mean if you say until you get your hands on the tchelet, you'll wear lavan? Like you have all these pairs of tzitzit that are lavan, and you're starting to get a tchelet pair. Are you not allowed to wear the lavan pair anymore?
Okay. I'm going to make this point once. I've made it before, but I'm going to make it again. Okay? In order to understand tzitzit, you have to forget everything you know about tzitzit. Okay? Because you have a fundamental misunderstanding of tzitzit. Tzitzit is not the beged. Right?
Right.
Tzitzit is
the castle.
The strings.
Yeah.
What you just said makes no sense. Okay? Tzitzit means, if I have a four-cornered garment, you have to put tzitzit on it.
Right.
Right? If you get a new shirt, do you then say, oh, do I throw out my old shirts?
No.
No. So why would you say that by tzitzit? Oh, but I already have a bunch of pairs. What are you talking about? Every single piece of clothing you have, which is four corners, must have tzitzit, and those tzitzit must be halachically valid tzitzit. Just because I have another pair doesn't make it legitimate. Right, that's like someone saying, well, I'm wearing tzitzit, so therefore I can wear another four-cornered garment on top of it without tzitzit. No, that's not how it works. Each beged with four. So, what are you telling me? I already have one with white. If you think you are not makayim the mitzvah, then without tchelet, then by wearing that four-cornered garment, you're not being a mitzvah of tzitzit in a subpar way, you are violating a mitzvah in the Torah. Called wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzit.
Yeah, okay.
Therefore, I don't care how many begadim you have with just lavan, right? If you think that you need to put tchelet on it,
right,
then you need to untie that thing, put in the tchelet string, right? So that your shirt is mutter to wear.
Okay.
The tzitzit are the strings. The beged is your shirt.
Right, fine. I'm talking about the strings off, of course. I'm saying...
No, what you said was clearly the beged.
I didn't mean to phrase it as if it was the beged. Yeah, so I'm saying, because obviously the strings will wear, and you should clean them, if I'm not mistaken, right? You don't wear them for... You wash your tzitzit, do you?
Okay,
right?
So what's your point?
Because
tchelet is indelible.
I'm only able to afford, eight that are half tchelet. Then...
I don't understand the question. If you have to... If you are not allowed to wear your shirt without tzitzit, and tzitzit includes tchelet, then you better find that money.
Yeah.
Just like anything else.
We're going off the notion that I'm wearing the whites until I can get my hands on tchelet. But I only have a few tchelets.
So then only wear your shirts which have the proper tzitzit attached to them.
Yeah, sometimes can you wear those until...
Wash your clothes. Stop thinking about this as tzitzit, what you think. Right, in the time of Chazal, they're talking about their clothes. Do you say, how many times can you wear your clothes? The answer is, I don't know. How many times can you wear your clothes? Right, hundreds of times? How many times do you wear a shirt until you throw it out?
No, several, I'm saying.
Several?
At least
several?
At least three.
Your shirt, not your tzitzit, your shirt.
Your cycle of washing.
So wash your tzitzit, or your beged with tzitzit.
Or strings.
I'm so confused by what you're talking about. Yeah.
I have tzitzit. I have like five.
Are you?
I have a lot of tzitzit.
Let's say tzitzit. Are you still tied to buy them?
Yes.
You can buy tzitzit for like $20, but like if you want to buy tefillahs, it costs like
$100. This cost me
$30. I thought for pairing tefillahs,
right?
The beged plus the tzitzit cost me
unaccessible
150 shekel.
Would you say
so? So I guess it's way cheaper here. But in America, just extra tefillah strips are $80.
Well, that's because people are taking advantage of you in America.
Right.
Do you buy a lulav and esrog?
But lulav and esrog, there's no lesser mitzvah you can do. But in this case, you can say, "Oh, these some."
So what? General mitzvah by mitzvah to say. How much of your money do you have to spend to be mekayem mitzvah to say?
All of it.
Wait, is it for the strings or like
not
that?
How many?
Just wear non-four-cornered garment.
20% of your wealth. Tchelet costs more than 20% of your wealth. I hope, even if it's $80, I hope you're worth more than $400. Yes, your full wealth.
Yeah, but what if you
are you worth more than $400? If this is a touchy question, no. Question.
Well,
every single Because then that's not real. So,
well,
like 20% after you've already spent the fire for the first one.
20% of your wealth.
So no, I'm saying you accumulate all mitzvahs that you need to spend money on, right? All those together must be 20% of your wealth, or after you
Well, usually they don't all face you quite at the same time, but theoretically, it's right, 20%. How you deal with when you have
Or together.
Are you actually gonna spend that much?
Because if I already spent 20% of my wealth on different mitzvahs, let's say for whatever reason, then
yeah, I spent another 20% of that now diminished amount.
Does that include the 10% for charity?
No, it's separate.
30% of wealth is not yours. Basically.
That's not wealth, by the way. That's not your net wealth.
Yeah,
that's yours.
That comes out on
first of all, it's a minhag. Second of all, right, according to most poskim, that's a minhag, right?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
According to the majority of you in Poskim, not all views, the majority of you in Poskim is the vision of the Ba'ath, and Maiser Kesafim. Because Maiser, what does Maiser mean in the Gemara? What it means in the Torah, which is a tenth of your produce, not a tenth of your salary.
So
Maiser Kesafim is just a form of tzakat, it's a minhag, you give 10%.
Produce is just like a way of saying.
No, it literally means produce.
Oh.
Right? You know how I know? Because it's called a mitzvah hatoli ba'aretz. It's an agricultural mitzvah dependent on the land, right? It applies in Israel, right? If you have a field in New York, you don't give 10% to the lady, right?
I don't
give
10% of my bar mitzvah money to poor people.
What?
I mean,
whoever said minhag is not binding, it's binding in minhag, different story.
I'm more impressed how you say
but yes, it's not binding in quite the same way. But it is Meister Kesafim is Meister Kesafim.
I haven't spent any of this.
I bought an Xbox One and that was it.
They pay for the party. That's how
it
is.
Well, then maybe
mine's in a savings account.
I just got a bunch of Z-Gurman.
Yeah, mine went into a savings account. Well, now it's in my house, presumably.
Okay.
Since I bought some time, but you know.
I think I'm going to forget I have my permits money until I'm like 85 or something.
No, you'll.
You have this extra fund somewhere.
Rafi. You will remember it when you have to buy a house.
Yes.
That's suddenly where you remember everything. That was where I remembered my bar mitzvah money. That was when my parents remembered that they had put bonds away when I was born for college, which had been maturing for 30 years. And I didn't need them because I had a full scholarship to YU plus living expenses. So they just sat there for 30 years. And then I redeemed them and they went into my house, right? Like all those things under my name. It was crazy. Like I went to the bank. I'm like, what is this from?
I'm telling you, I'm going to forget them.
That's when you pull out all these
everything.
Things.
I don't even know where to look though anymore. I feel like I've got a lot of I feel like I have hidden money in my house, like pirate style, like buried chests.
Yes, all your mattresses are
filled. Yeah,
I'm treasure mattress.
Which your address will save on the recording. We're going to want to break into your house for all the money stuffed mattresses.
Wait, what? Address again? I need to mail you something.
403 Cherry Lane. That's not my address.
1600 Pennsylvania
Avenue.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Be careful and I'll give you your address in Thornhill. You know.
I live in the White House.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Okay, good. We have a few minutes left, so I wanted to see if it's just a few more makoros, which are a bit more machshavik on it, or whatever, commentaries on the Torah that just sort of complete some of the ideas we've seen. And then when we finish, we'll be done for today. Tomorrow we'll deal with modern chelet, since, you know, again, the way I set up the sugya was that you'd be asking me about modern chelet by the end of today. And you all did, so look at that. I succeeded in setting you up. Look at that.
Wow.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. That was my goal. It is a fascinating sugya. It is one of those amazing sugyas. Who, by the way, did their doctoral work on it? I will say this tomorrow again, but who did their doctoral work on it? No. It's much older than that. Rav Herzog. Because Rav Herzog, the first chief rabbi of Israel, of the state of Israel, before that, he was chief rabbi of Ireland, and he had a PhD in chemistry.
Oh.
He was a chemist, and yes, on chelet. On chelet. His PhD was in chemistry on chelet. Exactly. He studied the... Exactly what he did. Okay, good. So look at the first source, the chelet and loven source, chief. And let's just finish up the sources that were there. So look at the Malbim. The Malbim, it said, Vasulem Tzitzit, Parshat Tzitzit, Gdelem Tasalach. So one of the things that we had noted several times is that in order to fully understand the Sugya, you need to understand the relationship between the Parsha in Shlach and the Parsha in
Dvarim.
Ki Tzitzit, right? Bamidbar Dvarim, Shlach, Ki Tzitzit. Yes? The longer parsha is in Shlach, that the parsha we know is the third parak of Shema, and in Ki Tzitzit is just one pasuk, which is
Gedilim
Tasalach. Exactly. So he says, "V'tzitzit mashma gamu chut echad ugdil v'hu anigdal mi shalosh chutin v'imkain yadina shetzarich shalosh chutin v'et shamay ma'ishna pil tchilet hu chutz migdil shalavan." He said, "This is the key." And we'll see more of this, but I figured we should just see that now. There is a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. How many strings do you need? So we paskin like Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel, in this case we're talking about Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel thinks, how many strings do you need in your tzitzit? Three. Three, which are six. And Beit Shammai holds you need four. And he says, and what is the machlokas? The machlokas is, Gedil means three. Because that's how that tassel is made.
Three plus one.
Correct. Is that, do you read Parsha 1 in light of Parsha 2, or do you read them 1 plus 1, or 3 plus 1, right? Parsha plus Parsha.
So wait, so Beit Shammai would say 4 plus 1? Or you would say
no, 3 plus 1, which is 4. We pause on Beit Shammai.
I'm saying Beit Shammai would say 3.
3 total.
2 white.
No. No. The question is it 3 total that... We know from Gedilim it's three, and that and therefore we know that everything in Bamidbar is just shoved into that, so it's three total.
Right.
Or is it three plus one? Without a Rambam Shrachut, Echad Shal Tchelet Kvar Achli, etc. Mashgad, this is Gedilim, Yadim Shtarach Shnehem. Okay, that's point one. Is just to remember that we'll see later in the Gemara, but just remember that we've so far talked about the relationship of it in terms of, is it about string, is it about blue, white? But this is also fundamentally the machlokas b'Hillel Beit Shammai of whether you need three strings or four strings. Okay, so just keep that in mind for later in the sugya. Next point. Look at the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma writes, P'til Tchilet, U'shmone chutim shaba keneged shmone yamim shishahu Yisrael mishayatsu mimitzrayim ad sha'amru shira alaya. So I put just a few points here that were interesting, not necessarily all... directly relevant, but things that I think you should think about and sort of connect to the conceptions we've been talking about. So here he says, one of the Shita and Rashi is, why do you have eight strings? Two, because the Jews sang
songs.
What? Shira Alayam on the eighth day. Now the problem is that that's
wrong.
What day they do it?
That's your Pesach.
Correct. But who told? So very sorry. V'shiva chutim shabak and eget shiva yamim shal Yisrael mishanu, and that's seven. V'savar kishitas aram shita chutim shalavan uchut echad shal tcheles v'lechein perish kodem p'til tcheles v'achach amar v'shiva chutim shabak and eget shiva yamim chal ela divrei Rav Moshe darshan sham ubar. And he says, he claims that Rashi al haTorah was following a different tradition, not like Rashi. And this is a general, many of their Chachamim say this, that Rashi on the Gemara thinks, how many strings do you have?
Four.
Four and four, right? And the Torah, it sounds like he says, the Ravid or the Rambam. And he argues that, and this is just one of those things that I put because I think it's important to realize, that sometimes you can tease out from someone's machshavik statement what he thinks halachically. And the Meshech Chachma thinks that you can tease out from his machshavik statement that he paskins like, ala Torah, he paskins like the Rambam. Why? Because he thinks that what are the units? Seven. Right? Meaning, if it's a typo, because it, right, Shir Hayam was on the seventh day, then the fact that Tzitzit is made up of a seven unit and there's clearly one more means that that conceptual model of seven plus one may be reflected in the Machshavik explanation of it. Right? And so you see here this interaction that the Meshech Chachma assumes that it's this, right, that this Machshavik interpretation depends of having already understood the sugya halachically, like the Rambam. But again, I only put these to make, right, just to, and this is something Rosenzweig used to do, is that sometimes people will tell you a conceptual approach about the lumdus because they're talking about the halachic sugya. But sometimes they just assume it when they're talking about the machshava. And even if you're not looking, right, meaning briskers don't like doing this, right? What is the connection between the machshava and the halacha? That's not what I'm doing here. It's the way someone talks about the machshava indicates their assumptions of what the halacha is or what the lamdus is. And that's what you see in this case, according to Meshach Chachma. That's just another ha'ara. The Barbanel in 5 says, "V'amar v'anuel tzitzit ha'kanaf til tchelet, la'agid shi'adru ha'mitzvahi b'sumam til tchelet l'kloa bo tzitzit." This is how he reads the words, "V'natsnu al ha'tzitzit til tchelet." And this is in line with the Rambam. He says, this is how you read the words. Put the p'til tchelet on the tzitzit, which is like the Rambam and Ravid, to make it more beautiful. Right, so what you see from the Barbanel is clearly that the way he reads the pasuk is like the Rambam Ravid, that since it is lavan and tchilat is a decoration on it. He also, by the way, thinks that it is chilazon is a fish. Right, we'll see. This is one of the big machalkot that we'll get to. Right, he calls it a dag katon, and the first attempt at bringing back tchilat, as we'll see tomorrow, was the Rishoner. The Rishoner took it from a fish, from a cuttlefish. Whatever it was. In Toronto, actually, I saw tchilat. I was shocked. I'm like, Toronto is a pretty small, see, conservative community. I'm like, they're selling tchilat, and I looked. It's like, oh, this is the old school Hasidish tchilat from the Rishoner. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And now, do we have the word tchilas? The word is,
we're going to talk about tomorrow.
That is a cuttlefish.
There you go.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Meaning it's a machlokas, right? We might, and therefore there are people who wear tchilat. I wear tchilat, right?
Yeah.
There are people who don't, and we'll see why. Okay, good. Similarly. Now, if you look at the last source here, the Ibn Kasbi was an interesting rationalist Rishon. He, in his interpretation, seems to sort of mix and match conceptual models. He writes, "Ritemoto v'inet sivala soda tzitziot hemanekrim gdilim." You should make the tzitzit, and that is the gdilim. So, what is he? "Vitzivala simbam p'til chelet," and then you should put onto them p'til chelet. What does that sound like for him? Which is the tzitzit?
The white.
And the first mitzvah will remind you of the mitzvot, and so too the second. But what does the second formulation sound like? These are two separate mitzvot. So I don't really know what it means, but I put it because it's a bit confused in that sense. The last one. What are you looking at?
Cuttlefish. They're insane.
They're crazy. Dude, you gotta see this, okay?
Can I read the Torah Tzmimah, then you can show it to me?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Torah Tzmimah, this is the last one. This is really focusing on the drasha, okay? Back to the straight-up drasha. Now, the Torah Tzmimah is one of those people who's worried about understanding the drasha of Chazal. So he writes as follows, "The mitzvah latet b'chol knaf arba chutim." The mitzvah is put in every corner 4 strings. Chud echad o shnayim tchelet semer sevo v'asher lavan. 1 or 2 of tchelet, right, Rambam Ravid, and white. And if they're all blue or all white, you're yotze. That's and if it breaks, you're yotze. He said, how does this proof work? Mishum de mitchila ktiv hakanaf udarshin min knaf. The first drasha, and this is what we'll do a little bit later, the sugya of min knaf, is you should make the strings like the beged. You should make it of the color, and we'll see this. Is it the same color? And some of it should be dyed wool. Once you tell me you have to make white and blue, it should have said, and you shall see them. The fact that it said oto is what teaches us that each min suffices. But Rebbe, so how do you defend Rebbe who thinks ma'akev? The kach tzarich shu shneim ke'achad. since each of them is oto, you need both. And here's what he just adds, that remember the Gemara had rejected Rebbe and said, it sounded like the Gemara rejected Rebbe and said Rebbe never said it, that Tchilas Makiv is love, and he just said about order. But we saw the Balmor didn't understand that way. The Tamima suggested that as well, and he says, no. Really, Rebbe did mean Tchilas Makiv is a lavan. What does the Gemara mean when it says mitzvah lakdume? It says that the drasha that Rebbe had, meaning that each, that oto can be ambiguous and refer to white and blue separately, we use that same drasha, meaning we read it both ways, oto as the whole thing together, and oto separately, to teach us both halachot. Meaning we accept both drashot, and we darshan, not makiv, but kadima, so this leaves the possibility that all the drashot are in play. And again, what we'll see tomorrow is the question of modern tchelet, and then we'll come back to the following sugyos in the Gemara.